A friendship born in 2012. Two brothers fight for justice, giggles, and bromance. One wears leathers and a helmet, the other wears odd socks. Alone they are weak, but together they be hard like lead and wet like sock. They are Lead Socks!
That damn cat.
Oh, welcome,
welcome to the first ever Lead Socks cast. For those of you that follow Lead Pin on YouTube, you probably have come across me before. I am Matty, a.k.a. Odd Socks. I'm joined with Leddy. How you going,
man? Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, so we got the idea of this cast basically from those videos, so... Yeah, they seem to be doing pretty good, so we figured why not to expand it. So
yeah,
hopefully this is a little bit funny.
Exactly, a place where people can find out a little bit more about me and find out a little bit more about you, because you're a funny bloke and you need to be out there.
Thank you, my brother. You're funny too, which hence why the 30,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Cheers, man.
Crazy fool.
You damn noob.
Oh, we've got a bit of a world exclusive here. You're going to reveal your first name.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you already know it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny story. Like, I first met you as a young Muammar Gaddafi, so your first name's actually Muammar. You're named after the crazy Libyan dictator,
yeah, yeah.
Gaddafi.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people think I'm Australian. A few people know from some of the videos that I'm originally from South Africa, but my parents were born in Libya, and they wanted to keep on that tradition, you know, stick with that whole Libyan sort of vibe. So they called me Muammar Gaddafi, and that's me.
Do you prefer Momes or Gaddafi?
Momes is pretty good.
Seriously though, what's your first name?
Led.
All right, man, I want to kick this off. It's a Monday night. We've both just had dinner. I ventured down to McDonald's. Now, those of you who've watched the YouTube or you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm a vegetarian. So I just got to say, Macca's, I'm not loving it. You guys are a bunch of bastards. You can get vegetarian options for breakfast, but you can't really get that many vegetarian options for dinner. And I love my food.
Are you
serious? I mean, you see me walking down the street, and you know I love my food. I'm a bit of a Tubbs. So, but yeah, so what I've been reduced to is ordering cheeseburgers without the meat.
Oh.
So I have glorified cheese sandwiches from Macca's and chips.
Cheese toasties from Macca's.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Today I've gone in there and ordered it, and you can tell they just don't give a shit, the people
there.
Yeah. Because I've gone there, and they don't... I actually thought they'd care that someone's ordering a burger without the meat, but they don't give a shit, and they're just, like, getting their minimum wage. They just can't be stuffed. And what makes it worse is I asked for, you know, with no meat, and they didn't even put pickle in.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and, yeah, it barely had any onions. Like, it had two little bits of onion.
Well, I mean, guessing the caliber of people that work at McDonald's, they probably think that vegetables are animals as well.
Maybe. I'm not sure what planet their cheese comes from. Someone's probably going to write to me and say, oh, their cheese has some sort of gelatin. It's a meat.
Yeah, it's cut off the arse of the cow.
Then I'll be fucked off because I'll be ordering the cheeseburger without the meat and the damn cheese.
You just get the bread.
But seriously, if for some reason the CEO of Macca's Australia is listening, do a damn veggie burger.
get it.
It's not that damn hard.
Get on that, mate. Don't they do a veggie burger?
No. Their rival, HJ's, do. They do a veggie whopper, which I must have to congratulate them on their foodies, their food equality.
Yeah, Lead Socks cast, proudly sponsored by Hungry Jack's Australia.
Yeah, if they gave me veggie burgers for life, I wouldn't refuse.
They'd probably listen to this and take the veggie burger off the range, I reckon.
We
don't want to be associated with these fools.
Man, I would fucking kick them in the nuts. So damn hard.
Holy shit, man. I can't believe that. No veggie burger at Macca's.
No, I've been thinking about mixing it up and getting a quarter pounder without the beef, just so I can have damn sesame seeds on the bun.
You should get a quarter pounder with Mac sauce and no meat.
Oh, like the Big Mac
sauce. Yeah, did you know you could do that?
No.
Some guy at work said you can order any burger and you can ask them for Mac sauce and they'll put Big Mac sauce on there. I've done it before. It is freaking phenomenal.
Really? So you just say Mac sauce?
That's what it is. They know exactly what Mac sauce is.
That sounds rude.
It does, doesn't it?
Give me some Mac sauce.
Look through the little window and there's Sam Mac from 92.9 jerking off into the burger. People who don't know what 92.9 is, it's a radio show.
Yeah, in Perth. Damn Perth.
Damn Perth. No one knows what's going on over here, not even us.
I know. That's the other thing I want to talk about is I'm unemployed at the moment. I left my job in March and decided to move to Melbourne and then move back for numerous reasons. But the job market's pretty shitty. People talk about this damn boom, and I ain't seen no damn boom. The only boom that I've seen is to my ass.
Funny you mention that, man. At work, we've got a woman that comes around. She owns a little franchise, coffee sort of truck thing. They pop around. They sell food items and coffee and all that kind of shit. And her husband, she was telling me in December last year, just before we went on Christmas break, she was telling me that her husband quit the police force and he went to go and work on the mine sites. He left the mine sites for whatever reason, I can't remember. I think he wanted to be close to home and he didn't like this 4 weeks away, 2 weeks at home kind of stuff. It's now August and the guy still hasn't found a job. He's got part-time employment, actually casual, which is even worse. And they're really doing it tough. And this guy's putting in application after application, and it's been 8 months. He hasn't found anything. And, I mean, for a place that's growing so rapidly and it's so expensive to live here, you'd think that there'd be employment opportunities coming out the yazoo. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I went for a job interview today. I got up early. I live in Rockingham, which is about an hour south of Perth, the main city. And I went to this damn job interview, and they'd advertised, because I'm a librarian by trade, they advertised on this list, which is like full librarians. And they were just asking for cataloguers. And I was like, sweet, I can do that. I've done that shit before. Sent them an email. The lady gave me a call. Now, I spoke to this lady for about 15, 20 minutes on the phone, outlining all my damn skills, and she seemed, like, really pleased. She's like, oh, we've had so many people apply, but, you know, they haven't had the skills that we need. So if you want to come in on Monday and just have a bit of a chat, that'll be great. Sweet. So go in there this morning. Took me an hour to get there. Get there for about 15 minutes, and, oh, you don't have the skills that we need. We're after these skills. And it's like, for shit's sake, I spoke to you on a damn phone.
Yeah.
You knew what my skills were. You made me come all the way from damn Rockingham. I felt like throwing my shoe.
Your shoe.
Because I don't like dressing up either. Like, you guys, you know me. I'm normally just like a shorts and t-shirt sort of guy. You know, getting damn dressed up in damn dress pants, damn dress shoes, damn dress shirt. Looking like a fucking prince. Going in there and then, yeah.
The only reason you didn't throw the shoe is because you had to use it for future interviews.
Yeah. Man, they're my damn leather Kmart shoes. Oh. They cost me $10, man. I've got to look after them damn
but
things.
Don't knock Kmart, man. I love Kmart. All of my clothes, Kmart.
The Bangladeshi specials.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. When you can go in there and you can pay $5 for 10 t-shirts, give me that deal any day. I mean, who needs to wear freaking $90 to $150 shirts? Come on now.
Yeah, those people need a kick in the nuts to do that.
Holy crap.
If they're listening to this free podcast and they're wearing $90 shirts, they need to give me some of that damn money.
Yeah, donate to the Maddie Fund. I mean, I'm
unemployed since March. I need them damn veggie burgers.
I remember through my job in construction, we did a job for a guy. He was the, I think he was like the head honcho of Quicksilver in Western Australia. And as part of the deal, we gave him a really good price. He said that he'd give me some free clothing. So I'd go around to like the Quicksilver headquarters every now and then, you know, once a month or something like that, and he'd let me check out and take as much clothing as I wanted. So I'm talking like free Quicksilver t-shirts, hoodies. I mean, the hoodie that I had was like nearly $200. It was this top of the line Quicksilver hoodie. The thing's full of holes. It's damn near shattered after about 2 years. I've got a Kmart hoodie that I've had for 5 years. Thing is immaculate, and I've worn it to work. I've worn it gardening. The damn thing just doesn't break. It's crazy.
I know what you're saying. I'm actually wearing a Kmart hoodie that I got back in 1999, I think, at the moment, doing this podcast. And it's got the only thing that's wrong with it is a little plastic bit on the zip has come off. And man, this thing's still going.
Yeah.
It's like my damn favorite hoodie. I wear it all the time. Kmart special.
Talk about plastic things on zippers. I bought this motorcycle jacket. It's actually a hoodie. It's a dry rider, you know, motorcycle jacket. I walked out into the car park, I put it on, I zipped it up. Before the zip reached the top, the plastic zipper thing broke.
Oh, wicked. That gives you assurance in an accident.
Yeah, yeah. Outside the shop, I walked back in and I'm like, I bought this like literally 2 seconds ago and it's broken.
Shit. Fuck. They give you an exchange?
They did, yeah, yeah.
So, good lads.
I mean, it wasn't anything big. I could have lived with it if it happened the day after, but you know, it's all good. Especially when you're paying for like a $300 jacket.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, where's the quality control on that?
Yeah, I know.
Zipping them things back up.
Oh, I'm talking about expensive stuff versus cheap stuff. Have you noticed the other thing? I don't know if you're a big sunglasses guy. I used to be. I remember I used to get like just a cheap pair of sunglasses from the petrol station. Those things would be with me for 5 years. I'd go out one day, buy a pair of Oakleys, like $300 Oakleys. 2 weeks from now, gone. Lost. Don't know where they went. It's crazy. I remember back in the day when I used to surf, a buddy of mine who I used to surf with, there were probably, out of 2 years, there were probably three occasions out of those 2 years where he'd walk along and he'd find an immaculate pair of Oakleys or some big brand sunglasses just sitting on the beach. Someone left them there.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of marketing, probably conspiracy with these sunglass manufacturers that go around nicking these glasses just so you go and buy some.
Yeah,
more.
Or they've got some chemical in the plastic that makes them disappear after 2 weeks.
Some sort of GPS.
Yeah.
Magicians. I had an expensive pair of glasses that I used to wear all the time, and I had them for a couple of years. And I went down to one of the local basketball courts with a couple of friends just to shoot some hoops. And the genius that I am, I had this hat with me, took me sunnies, you know, looking all the part, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a real hoodlum going down there playing basketball. Decided to take my hat off, wanted to protect my glasses, so I wrapped them in my hat and put them down underneath where I thought they'd be safe, underneath the post with the basketball hoop. Anyway, I get to take my first shot. I'm like, fuck it, this is awesome. Man, I'm going to absolutely get a swish. Nothing but net. Go and take the shot. Completely miss the ring. The basketball flies past the ring, straight down, straight onto the damn hat, smash the glasses.
No! Far out!
Yeah, these glasses are about $250, you know. So I was like, shit. So I checked on the glasses, they'll snap right in the middle, like right in the nose.
That is insane. So you can't get a hoop, but you can hit the damn glasses.
Yeah, I know. Normally I'm not too bad. I'm not that bad at basketball. Normally I'm pretty good, but that was atrocious.
That reminds me, one thing that really gets my goat, which is pretty much the same as that, like you miss the hoop, but you get the sunnies right at the back, is in AFL, Australian football. Like, the overseas listeners won't have a clue, but it's kind of like the goalposts are two posts sticking out of the ground up into the air.
Yeah, they look like pencils. It's been, you know, two are new pencils and the other two at the ends are like sharp pencils. Yeah.
And for the footy players, for the football players to score, that it's kind of like rugby. They've got to kick through those posts, through the middle of those posts. Mm. And every freaking game, man, every game, they always kick the ball and it hits one of the posts.
Yeah, guaranteed someone will hit that damn post. I mean, what's the chance?
What are the chances of that? In every single game, it happens like 3 to 4 times. It's insane. If they were aiming for the post, they'd never hit the bloody thing.
It makes soccer players look really bad because they have that huge goal to get through, and they can, you know, some games you're watching and it's, you know, nil all after 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least during one game of AFL, someone's going to hit that damn post.
Oh, man. Did you see, I don't follow soccer or sport or anything like that, but when the World Cup was on, did you see that? I think he may have been the Brazilian goalkeeper. It was on the news, and it was actually pretty cool. I could get the clip for you at some stage. I'm sure if you search YouTube, you'll find it. But he does this, I'm pretty sure it was one of the World Cup games. And someone kicked at the goals. The ball was going to go straight in. And this guy sort of dropped down. He dropped his torso towards the ground and flicked his back legs up behind him and kicked the ball out of the goals. And I'm thinking, for such an important game, why would you play with that? Why wouldn't you just put your hand up and stop the ball?
Yeah, don't be showing
yeah,
off.
Yeah, don't do any of this freaking, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu shit in the air for something that your whole country's just depending on.
Bloody Matrix. At least the good thing is he pull it
he
off?
He did, yeah.
Crazy bastard.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, something like that, if you pull it off, you can be a hero forever. If you fail, by the time he gets back to Brazil, they're going to have the noose hanging ready to kill the bastard.
Yeah, well, he would have got all the Brazilians.
Yeah, holy shit.
You know, our listeners are an educated bunch, I should imagine, even from the first episode. You know they're going to be educated, and they're going to want news, like really good news to sink their teeth into. So, and with our busy lifestyles these days, we don't have time to actually sit down and watch the 6 o'clock report on Channel 7, 9, or 10, or whichever station you prefer, ABC, for those who are really arty. or SBS for those that are come in by boats, Buddy Abbott. So we've got an idea that we're gonna do some news reporting, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. All right, I shall cue the intro. Let me put the tape in. Here we go. Okay, so from that intro, I'm not sure if you can actually tell with my dodgy singing. It's actually called Nuisance News. So what happens is one of us has to read 5 articles aloud, like so you guys can get some good news depth in your Monday night or Tuesday night or whenever you decide to listen to this damn podcast. So one of us will read the news, the other one's going to act the fool and try and make the other person laugh who's reading it. Mm-hmm. If the person reading it laughs, they lose. It's an automatic fail. And the person who's been the distractor wins. And if the person manages to get through all the news articles, 5 news articles, without laughing, they win. So each week we're going to rotate the reader's position and the distractor's position. And we will go from there. So today I'm reading the news. I've got 5 quite spiffy articles up on my computer that I'm going to try and read. So we're not going to read the whole article. It's basically going to be the first paragraph of each news article. Otherwise, we're going to be here all night trying to distract me.
Yeah, I really hope that these aren't very interesting because I might just sit here and listen.
Okay.
Completely interested in the news. Oh, you laugh, so you lose. You didn't even start.
I have no. It's not official. Damn! Don't be. Don't be one of those.
Next segment.
Yeah, let me chew the damn tape. All right, so I'm going to read the. I'm going to state where I got the article from. Mm-hmm. So which site? State the headline, and then once I've said the headline, I'm going to start reading the article, and then you can chime in with whatever you're going to try and get me with.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so the first article is from Yahoo, and it was published on August 9th. It's how to use your cat to hack your neighbor's Wi-Fi. On the site, they have this beautiful cat. It looks like a Siamese. And it's, his name's Coco. Okay, so I'm going to start. Last month, a Siamese cat named Coco went wandering in his suburban Washington, D.C. neighborhood.
Coco.
He spent three hours exploring nearby backyards. He killed a mouse whose carcass he thoughtfully brought home to his octogenarian owner, Nancy.
I'm trying to think of something to make you laugh, but just the story of a cat hooking up to Wi-Fi is getting me all giggly.
And while he was out, Coco mapped dozens of his neighbors' Wi-Fi networks, identifying four routers that used an old, easily broken form of encryption, and another four that were left entirely unprotected. Unbeknownst to Coco, he'd been fitted with a collar created by Nancy's granddaughter's husband, security researcher Gene Bransfield. And Bramfields had built into that collar a Spark Core chip loaded with custom-coded firmware, a Wi-Fi card, and a tiny GPS
module. I've got some firmware in my pants.
And a battery. Everything necessary to map all the networks in the neighborhood that would be vulnerable to any intruder or Wi-Fi mooch with, at most some simple crypto-cracking tools. Okay, that's the first one.
I love that story. That story itself was funny. It should be like you reading the news to try and make me laugh, and I'm going to try and keep a straight face.
That damn Coco.
Damn Coco.
That Moochin Coco.
Moochin and the firmware.
Okay, the second piece of news I've got is from the New York Times, so this is quite reputable.
Oh, okay.
It was published on February 10, so it's a bit of an old one. But I think it's a good one.
Okay.
So it's from the Middle East. Suicide bomb trainer in Iraq accidentally blows up his class.
Curry makes me want to shit.
If there was such a thing, it would probably...
But it's terrible because...
...be rule number one in the teacher's manual for instructors of aspiring suicide bombers. Don't give lessons with live explosives. Sorry, my friend, what were you going to say?
When you're eating curry, you drink milk. So it doesn't burn. But the milk and the curry together, like both of them separately make you want to shit. Both together make you...
It represents a cautionary tale for terrorist teachers.
Explode.
And a cause of dark humor for ordinary Iraqis. A commander at a secluded terrorist camp in north of Baghdad unwittingly used a belt pack with explosives while conducting a demonstration early on Monday for a group of militants.
Come on now, I know you want a curry. Wash it down with some milk. Get that lactose intolerance boiling up inside of you.
Killing himself and 21 other members of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, army and police officials said. If anyone's reading this, listening to the actual news, I don't think I'm doing much justice.
I'm just wondering if people Islamic people eat curries.
I think they do. Yeah.
Oh. We're going to have to look that up later to see what they eat.
Well, I think Iraqis, I don't think they eat curries, but I think they... No, they'd have to eat curries. I think curries is international.
Seriously, man, milk makes me want to shit.
Iraqi citizens have long been accustomed to daily attacks on public markets, mosques, funerals, and even children's soccer games.
Milk,
So they saw the story of a fumbling militant...
Have you ever had a green milkshake and shat a green shit?
...as a dark and delicious...
I did once.
...poetry custard, especially coming amid the protracted surge of violence led by the terrorist group, including a rise in suicide bombings.
Oh,
two down.
So, how many? Five? We got to do five?
Yeah, I got to do three more.
Oh, man.
Close one, you damn curries.
Curries and milk.
Okay. This one is from Fox 8 WGHP, which I think the Piedmont news station. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who they are. And it says NC.
Good old Piedmont.
It's from NC, which I'm guessing is North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. NC mother finds Nazi symbol on her chicken sandwich.
Piedmont. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Or this is from August 10, so yesterday.
Okay. Piedmont.
Oh, no. Moorhead City, NC. A North Carolina mother said she was shocked to find a Nazi symbol on her chicken sandwich. WCTI TV reported that it happened after Charlie Mattice got food from McDonald's drive-thru in Moorhead.
You should release, as like a podcast thing, we could release T-shirt and ice, call it Matt Ice.
The mother said she went to put mayonnaise on her bun when she saw the buttered swastika on the inside. Is this a joke? Does someone really think they're funny? She said, according to the TV station.
Young Matt white Ice, folks be crazy.
Matt Ice brought the sandwich back and was given an apology and a refund. She said she is no longer upset at the restaurant. McDonald's issued a statement saying that the employee responsible was fired and they feel bad for the situation.
So she was happy with a refund.
I think so.
What the fuck? It's in America. I thought she would have like sued for millions of dollars. Mm. I just went and offended every American listener. I'm sorry, but you guys do that stuff. You sue for millions of dollars. It's a smart thing. I'm not knocking you.
I want to know how they managed to get the swastika on.
Yeah,
there.
I know. Matt Ice. I'm still thinking of that as a line of your own ice.
It would be pretty good.
It would be good.
But, oh, now are we talking about the drug or ice or just normal ice?
Oh, both. Which way did you want to go?
I want the one that's going to make me the most money.
Yeah, I was just thinking about blocks of ice, like frozen water, but if you want to take it down the dark road, you can do that.
The swastika is actually on a white bun.
Is it?
Too.
What,
yeah.
Like burnt in there, toasted in there?
It looks like just like an oily patch, really. I'll have to chuck up the news article on the website, on our website.
Yeah.
The Lid Socks. Yeah, it's a It looks a bit sus, but I don't. Yeah. Okay. Staying with the classy American news, this is from Tampa Bay, Sarasota. Oh, is Sarasota in the US? Anyway, I'm gonna feel like a fool. Okay, this is from 10 News, and it was published on August 9th.
Okay.
Woman learns husband is her long lost brother.
Have you ever, like, just tried, you know, getting into the moment and jerking off and just sitting there for ages, ages, and you just realize that you're thinking about something else and you're not actually focusing on jerking off?
A Brazilian woman got quite shocked when she went on radio show this week to reconnect with her long-lost mother.
That's usually when I find the time to reply to YouTube comments. I think, well, it's a good time for a good old penis flogging. And 5 minutes later, I lose touch with what I'm doing, and I find that I'm answering questions on YouTube.
Adriana, 39, who gave no last name, went on Radio Globs.
Globs!
Time is now, which helps people find lost family members and talk to her mother for the first time. The big news, Adriana had a brother who'd been given up as a child and raised by a relative, just like Adriana was. Bigger news... His name was Leonardo.
Leonardo?
just like Adriana's husband. The two men, in fact, had the same last name. I don't believe you're telling me this, said sobbing Adriana, the Daily Mail reported. Leonardo is my husband. The couple has a 6-year-old daughter.
Is this a news story or is this like a non-fiction book?
It's America.
It's crazy. It's just interesting listening to this news. I'm like... I'm annoying myself by trying to make you laugh because I want to hear these new stories.
Okay, I've got the last one. The last one might actually make me laugh because I've just read the headline.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. Okay. So this is the last one. This is your last chance to win.
Okay. All right.
You got to pull out all the stops on this.
All right.
One. Otherwise, it's going to be Matty 1, Letty 0.
Oh, but then I get to get you back next. Damn it! I was going to use my phone for this one, but it's in the other room. All right, I'll have to wing it.
Okay. So it's from Chronicle Live. This one's from the UK.
Ah.
It was submitted on the 10th of August, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Penis ID parade unnecessary after drunken yob admits attacking woman with fake phallus.
Geezer. Fake phallus. If he's going to get arrested, why doesn't he just use his regular phallus?
A yob who tormented a young woman on a night out by repeatedly brandishing his extremely realistic penis keyring has been sentenced without the need for an embarrassing identity parade. Witnesses to Dean Middlemiss's drunken antics leading to his arrest.
So she was drunk. Oh, he was drunk.
I think they were all drunk.
Fucking hell. So what are they complaining about? Just whip out the phallus, rub it on the woman's face. It's all good. No one has to go to jail if they're all drunk.
Wait till you hear this constable's
name. Constable.
leading to his arrest by PC Jeff Bone.
Jeff Bone. Oh.
In Berwick upon Tweed. I don't know what that is.
Jeff Bone, phallus, fake phallus.
On November 30 last year, thought it was 26-year-old's real genitalia on show, leading to the charge of exposure, which the defendant denied. Prosecutor Newcastle Crown Court instead accepted an admission of outraging public decency by Middlemiss of Sallyport, Berwick.
Middlemiss?
Prosecutor Rob Hunt said the defendant's movements with the penis were so realistic that we're all at a loss on whether it was his penis or an artificial one.
Defendant's bowel movements.
As a possible trial drew near, we decided to accept an additional charge of outraging public decency, and this has avoided the potential identity parade. No one wanted
public
that.
Public decency? Wouldn't it be public indecency?
You'd think so.
Well, hang on. This isn't outrageous. Pick apart the news. I'm just picking apart the news here.
Yeah, well, the author's Adam Luke, so you need to tweet that
Adam
guy.
Luke, two first names.
What's up, Adam? Yeah, Adam Luke.
Fucking hell.
Okay, I got through
you
the five.
You bastard.
It's 1-0. Matt. Score one for Team Maddie.
Team Maddie. Next week, I'm not going to laugh at all, guaranteed.
You're gonna laugh.
I'm going to take some sour pills. Oh, man, that was a crack-up. Some of those news stories were just getting me going without saying anything.
They're pretty good ones. This week's come out with some good news, and I'd have to remind myself so I can actually laugh.
Yeah.
But just that last one with the
phallus.
The bone?
Yeah, the bone, the phallus.
Was all over the shop.
It was a confusing fucking story. Now you laugh.
Probably didn't help with my reading. It's probably all over the damn shop. All over the... Where did that come from, all over the shop?
I don't know. That's... Yeah. All over the shop.
I mean, that's just come out of nowhere, all over the shop.
Yeah, because it's all over the show... Which in itself doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, because of... Yeah.
And then someone thought, well, the show's too large. Maybe we should just bring it down to a little shop and say it's all over the shop.
All over the shop.
All over the shop.
It's all over the shop. So, speaking about phalluses, how's your going, man?
My phallus is going really, really well. How's yours?
Mine's pretty good. Mine's well looked after by myself and... I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I've got to say, mine's a bit of a handful sometimes.
A bit of a handful? Yeah. So it's not normally a handful? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. Speaking of that, like, that was, for those who didn't really get it, it's a small penis joke. And a lot of people...
Oh, that's why you called lead pin, isn't
well, that's,
it? Pin,
that's what I was going to say.
The pin part refers to...
Well, out of 30,000 subscribers, only three people, I'm dead set, only three people have made the connection between the pin and the penis thing and try to take the piss out of me for it. Like, I thought, as soon as I brought that name Lead Pin up, I thought every fucking comment is going to be about the penis thing. But it's not, so people are pretty decent.
What are those people expecting that are commenting? They're thinking, man, I'm really going to make this guy regret his whole YouTube name, his Twitter handle, his Facebook page, like his whole online identity by matching the pin part to his penis.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that guy's a genius.
Oh, man. Yeah, because when because I had the username for years before I even started YouTube, and people used to take the piss out of it on Twitter, but I don't know, I kind of just, you know, it all went over my head, so now when people make that reference, it doesn't even bother me.
Who is anyone you want to point out with the Twitter thing? Any assholes that you want to name?
Oh, not about the pin thing. There is a couple of assholes on Twitter that I'd like to mention, but I don't know if I want to drag you down that path either.
So, what's your status at the moment? Are you living the single life? What's going on there?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly.
Have you changed your Facebook thing to it's complicated? Or?
No, I haven't yet.
You were trying to tell me something about a curry incident.
Oh, a curry incident? No, well, I mean, the relationship status is going steady at the moment. But that's the thing, like, I'm kind of...
You're a bit of a ladies' man. I mean, let's face it, girls are attracted to you. You can just walk down the street, and I'm not bullshitting you. Like, women are attracted to you. Like, even online, you have that presence, whatever it is, the machismo or... whatever it is, girls just love you. I think you come off as a bit of a bad boy, and I think you work that angle pretty well, and the girls like to get them in the old lead pin.
I don't know, I think I come off more like a little whack job. So I don't know.
They want that lead
pin. I don't know what they see in me, man.
They want that lead pin.
Well, I was just, you know, hungry one day, and I went out to the local curry shop, and I was having a look through the food that they had in the Bay Marie over there, all just sitting there nice and warm, looking all juicy and shit, and trying to pick out what I wanted, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye, I had this feeling that someone was staring at me, and I looked out the corner of my eye, and there was this little Indian girl, and she just, like, her eyes were just locked onto me, like, burning into me. So I kind of looked at her, and I smiled awkwardly because, I mean, I didn't know what to do. Should I, like, walk out? She's staring at me. I feel uncomfortable.
And creeping intensifies.
And she comes over and she starts, like, you know, sort of, like, she put both her elbows on the glass above the Bay Marie, and she sort of rested her chin down.
Ouch.
Yeah, she rested her chin down on her arms. And she was, like, looking me right in the eyes, and she was like, oh, how's your day been? I'm like, yeah, it's been okay. How's yours been? She's like, yeah, it's been pretty quiet. And she had this smile on, and she was, like, really, like, I don't know, it wasn't, she didn't say anything overly flirty, but just, like, her body language was very flirty. Like the
man, I mean, seriously, she's got to be regretting that, putting her elbows and her chin on that thing. Those things can be damn hot. They've even got the warnings at the front. This shit's hot. Don't fucking touch.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just a really weird situation. Like, I ordered what I wanted, and she suggested some other stuff, and I said, no, I'll have what I'm asking for. And I paid, and, yeah, she was like, she watched me the whole way until I walked out. Like, I turned back just as I was closing the door, and she was still looking at me. So it was kind of awkward. Weird. Real weird.
She must have thought you were Papa Dom. That's a really bad trick, Tom.
I like that. But it's not as weird. Like, there's another story where a couple of weekends ago, I was with another buddy of mine, and we were down at the Boat Harbour. And there's a coffee shop over there. Very, very busy. It's a small little place, but there are just so many people over there. It's always jam-packed. And we're standing kind of really close together, and I was in a bit of a daze just listening to what he was saying, and he said something funny, and I was giggling, looking straight past him, like straight past him towards the back of the shop, and this girl was walking towards us. And I honestly wasn't looking at this girl, I wasn't perving on her, I barely even noticed her. And I was looking down at the floor, and as soon as her feet came into view, it sort of snapped me back to reality, so my eyes moved up from the floor to her face, and our eyes connected, like we stared at each other for like a split second.
You're making this shit sound so romantic.
And dude, it's anything but. She had these, like these eyes and this expression on her face and this little smirk on her face that just appeared as we connected eyes that was like, I'm into you. And I felt sick to the stomach because this girl was like 15 years old. I felt like crap. I said to my buddy, I said, look, we got to grab our copies and we got to go because this is, yeah, I didn't know what to do. I felt so confused in that moment because I honestly wasn't looking at her. I was like, from her point of view, when my eyes moved up from the floor because her feet distracted me, like, you know, slapped me back to reality, and my eyes moved up towards her face, I guess she thought that I was, like, you know, giving her the up and down check out.
Wow.
And just the expression on her face. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she was, you know, 15. She may have been older, but she looked really young. Like, young. She looked young enough to make me feel very uncomfortable about the situation. And, yeah, but she gave me these eyes that if I was confident she was above the legal age, then it probably would have been something pretty cool and something to be proud of. But I just felt like a dirty old man when I walked out of there. I was like, oh, no. Just,
man, that story took a really bad twist.
It did, man.
I was getting all excited there for you, thinking, oh, here we go. What's going on here?
Nah.
It made me feel like a damn.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I felt just so dirty. Like, things like that, you know, go through my mind a lot, is that women have a lot of power. And, you know, I was thinking about, like, school teachers and stuff like that, but we can get to that in a second. But when she...
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's confusing now, but I'll explain in a sec. But, like, this girl, she could have gone back, even though I did nothing and I got out of there as quickly as possible to get away from her. She could have gone and sat down with her parents or something and said something to her dad, like, oh, this guy, you know, touched my ass as I walked past or something like that. And then it's, you know, her word against mine. And the school teacher thing comes into it as well. Is like, I always thought it would be a pretty cool job to be a school teacher. But I think that nowadays, you just can't. As a male, I think it's too risky to be a school teacher, particularly a high school teacher, because if a female student does come up to you and try and flirt with you, because that shit happens all the time at every school to every male teacher, then if you knock her back, which is obviously the right thing to do, she can get upset by that and she can go and start a whole lot of shit. And then again, it's her word against yours. Say that, you know, she, you know, you came onto her and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to defend yourself? It's just like, if I go to a place and I see a lot of young girls, I'm like, yeah, no, fuck this. Particularly if I'm, you know, on the bike and I've got the camera on and all that kind of shit. I generally avoid school areas and shit like that because you just don't want someone coming after you thinking that you're some perv or whatever it is. It's just so crazy. Nowadays, you've got to be so, so careful. But yeah, that's the coffee shop and the curry story.
Went off on a bit of a tangent. We've got delved into lead pin spheres of pin
pedophilia
and getting beaten up by a 15-year-old dad.
Oh,
dad fights. That needs to be a thing.
Yes, yes.
Dadfights.com.
Dadfights.com.
Need to register that. Along with dad jokes. Dadjokes.com is probably already taken.
Oh, I think it would be. Like, shit my dad says. That's something we should have come up with.
Speaking of that segues quite well into this.
Oh, you bloody hell. That's clever, that is. Look at this very fake. I'm going to pick up this bloody art. Where? Not my silver basket. That's not my slipper. Don't you look at me like that.
It's a bloody
funny night, isn't it? Don't
you smell
alright with you?
Do I?
Really?
The thing I love about that is the in it.
I love the bit in the middle. It's like, so it's some random thing where she's trying to yell at the dog. For those of you that don't know, that is the voice of my mum. My mum's in her mid-70s, and I actually live with my mum while I'm waiting to move in with my girlfriend. And she's got quite a following on Twitter, my mum, just from random shit that I tweet that she says. So, yeah, you're aware of some of the stuff that she says.
Yeah, I can hear her in the background sometimes. Oh, she's a classic.
Every week what I want to try and do is try and get some material so you can all experience what is Madge. My mother.
Good old Madge.
The lady that's punched out people while waiting for a taxi. Yeah, she's done that. She
Jesus Christ. I don't want to get on her bad side.
Yeah, she's got a bit of a temper, my mum. I think she's about 5 foot. She's feisty. She's got a very big feisty streak.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I've never met your mum in person, but like, particularly from the photos and stuff like that you've sent, and just listening to her when I do hear her, I was surprised when you said she was mid-70s, because I wouldn't have picked that. Like, she seems a lot younger than 70.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's aged quite well. She doesn't have any grey hairs or anything like that. She looks pretty good for 75. Yeah. But
Maddie's mum has got it going on.
So I was hoping to recall something today or the last few days to try and add to this. But and I know people are waiting for it. This probably as soon as I mentioned that part of this podcast will be Days of Our Madge, that I just started getting like messages about what, you know, what's with the podcast, podcast, and I swear that's how I've got all my followers on Twitter is what Mum says. So yeah, so I'll be adding that. So it's like a to be continued.
We should actually one day have Madge on the show.
I mean, it'd be wicked.
That'd be awesome. That would be so awesome. She'd keep telling me to shut up.
Probably. Piss off.
Yeah, in it.
But I must say, every time that I've gamed or we've Skyped or something, you always hear Bert, your dog. I haven't heard anything from Bert since we've started recording. Have you killed him?
No, I'm surprised you can't hear him. He's actually lying on the other side of the house, and I can hear him snoring from here. I try to move him as far away from the microphone as possible.
I must say, it's weird talking to you without hearing, like, from Bert. Like, it's a bit off-putting. It's too silent.
Yeah, he's a bit of a jerk. He has some issues shitting as well. I got to tell you about that.
Man, I don't know what it is. We've got this great friendship with dogs, like humans and dogs. Like, you don't find it in any other species, this great partnership. Yeah. But, I mean, they're just so damn awkward when they shit.
They are.
They just... like, it's just the most awkward thing. And then they give you that look. Like, you fucking creep. What are you doing looking at me shitting?
I can't remember who said it, but someone said it perfectly, that when a dog takes a shit, it looks like he's trying to root a cricket ball.
What the fuck?
Because they hunch right up and they get into the... oh, it's just a weird little position.
It is. It's a shocking position. And it gives you dread when you see it inside the house, too, when they start assuming that produces...
oh, Jesus, yes. And there's nothing you can do. What can you do? You pick them up, and then there's just a trail of shit. So you may as well just let them shit in the one spot in the house.
Well, I used to have a dog, Misha, and she was so gross. She would start shitting, and she'd turn around mid-shit to try and sniff it. So she'd, like, leave, like, a little circle poo.
Oh.
Like, just like, yeah, it looked like Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Oh, she was a foul pooer.
Well, that's the problem I've got with Muggsy, but it's a problem I don't have with Bert, because Bert's got a problem. I don't know, this is going to be kind of weird, and I won't go into too many details, but his anal passage, the anal canal out to the poop hole, isn't straight, and it's not rigid like it should be. It's got a couple little side pockets. So when...
what?
Yes. So when he shits...
It's got emergency lanes.
It's got emergency lanes, yeah. He's got... when he shits, sometimes he can manage to squeeze it out and it's all good. But other times, he just doesn't look okay. He's always got this concerned look on his face. He always looks worried and upset. And you notice these bulging pockets either side of his asshole. So a couple of times I had to take him to the vet, and the vet sticks his finger in there and pulls all this shit out. It's absolutely disgusting.
So, I thought you weren't going into too much detail, man. That's
detail. So I said to the vet, I said, what do I do? I mean, like, do it. And the vet said, all you can do is just stick your finger in its ass and just pull out the little nuggets of shit. And I'm not going to do that because he chucks his shit so often, I'm not going to have my finger up some dog's ass for the majority of the day. So every time he goes out, I let him build it up so he gets, you know, enough shit in those little pockets. Then I put him on the grass, and like a little toothpaste tube, I squeeze the side of his ass, which pushes all the shit out the asshole.
Oh, can you like feel the, like see the pockets and feel them when you
press it? Yeah, you can see the pockets. They're like two little bulges either side of the asshole.
Oh,
and you sort of press against those. And as you press, and as his little bum hole opens, he knows, his body tells him, okay, this is coming out. So he automatically assumes the shitting position as you're squeezing. And once these little lumps plop out, like, I don't get my fingers dirty. I still wash my hands after the deed anyway, but there's no finger near asshole. It's only on the side of his bum, like his bum cheeks.
It's like popping a pimple.
Exactly, popping a pimple. And then, like, straight after that, the guy bounces around, runs around the yard like a crazy fool, just so excited he finally got this shit out of him.
Poop pockets,
bird turds.
Bird turds, Muggsy's pockets.
Oh, man. So you've got a shit story about Tilly, your dog, as well, don't you?
Yes, it happened quite recently, and she's still paying the price for it. It happened, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. She's a little Maltese Jack Russell Cross. She used to sleep in the bed with me. Anyway, this one night, she didn't come into the bedroom, which was really weird for her. And she just steered clear, and I woke up at about 2 o'clock to go to the toilet. And I'm like, she's not in bed, I wonder what's going on. Anyway, I turn on the lamp next to my bed, and I, you know, sit up. And, like, I noticed something drop on the floor. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And, you know, you got the sleepy eyes, and you can't really quite make out. And my first instinct was to bend down and pick it up and see what it was.
Ooh, chocolate.
Yeah, anyway, I didn't do that, and I just thought, well, I'll just look closer. It was shit. It was dog shit. I'd been laying in dog shit.
It's a good thing you didn't pick it up off the floor, mate. Time. Thought Willy Wonka came to visit, left a nugget of chocolate on the floor for you.
The thing was, like, I hadn't smelt it when I got to bed. Like, I hadn't noticed it. So I'm not sure when she's actually done it.
Could have been there for weeks.
I went to the toilet. I come back. And it's like, fuck, it's 2 o'clock. What the hell am I going to do? So I start stripping the bed off. I've got to ditch the doona cover, like the doona. Like, that's messy. So I had to get rid of that, get the bed sheets, you know, strip the bed.
Have a shower.
Got the bed done, all set up, go have a shower.
Excuse me.
And, yeah, I mean, my mum would have heard the shower because it's near a bedroom. She would have heard the shower going at 2 o'clock and probably thought I had a wet dream or something.
Oh, no.
But, yeah. Fucking cursing the dog. And then, like, the dog's, like, looking. Like, comes past, looking.
Oh, so she came back.
Yeah, she eventually came back. She said, what's going on? You know, all fucking...
Yeah, innocent. Yeah, I did nothing.
But they know. They know when you give them that
look.
Yeah,
oh, they do.
They know. And they, assume that guilty pose.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to call it the poo pocket pose now.
Poo pocket pose.
The triple B.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, I've got Muggsy, my other dog, also a Jack Russell. He's got another problem, and he's got an anal gland issue.
Oh, man, them damn small dogs and the anal glands.
Yeah. So he has to get his... I have to take him to the vet because I can't do it. and the vet has to empty his anal glands. And it is the most foul mucus that comes out of that ass that you will ever experience. I know you know about it because I've seen you tweet about going to get anal glands checked out on your dog as well. It's your dog?
Yeah.
It is just foul. But Muggsy's got this problem that the mucus in his anal glands builds up so quickly that I'd pretty much have to take him to the vet once a week, and sometimes I don't. So every now and then, you'll get this absolute foul smell.
It's like a mixture between poo and like a really metallic-y, like scent.
Yeah, it is.
Like it smells. Oh. Yeah, like smells like coins.
It does. Like, yeah, like if you taste your blood, that metallic taste.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's just. And what's it about shit? Is it only me, or do you notice this as well, that when you can smell shit and it smells really bad, you can just about taste it as well?
Yes, the smelly taste. I'm presuming it's because the whole areas are in the same region, but, man, once you can start taste, like, I always do the ninja, man. Like, I put the damn shirt over my nose.
That's it. But, I mean, I heard, and I don't know if it was from a reputable source, but this was years and years ago. I heard that the reason you can taste it sometimes is because, depending on how fresh the shit is, there might still be particles in the air which are literally getting into your mouth. And you can taste the shit. Now, I don't know. I think that's a load of bullshit. But, I mean, just the thought of it just freaks me out. That you're literally tasting shit.
Man.
Actually, I'm going to ask someone about that. I'm going to find out if that's true.
That's disgusting. But talking about those anal glands, Mum used to have a dog, Misha.
Yeah.
Who was the circle shitter.
The circle shitter. Stonehenge.
Yeah, Stonehenge. She had really bad anal glands.
Yeah.
But every now and then she could release them on her own and it would leave like this substance behind. Mm. There was only one place that she would ever release those liquids.
Not on the pillow.
No. On Madge's lap.
Oh!
On Madge's lap. So, Mum will be sitting there, watching TV. Misha jumps up all lovey-dovey on the, you know, on her lap. And then all of a sudden, like, you'll just see Mum's face just changed.
When that smell hits.
That's...
Oh.
And she'd be... she'd just call Misha like, you... Bitch, you dirty bitch! And there'd be like this. But it was like this white milky stain on Mum's clothes.
Oh, no.
And like it's the most putrid. Like it would fill the whole room.
It does.
Like this, that metallic-y damn thing. Anyway, one day Mum was on the phone to her sister. Her sister lived in the UK.
Yeah.
Mum was on the phone. Misha jumps up on her lap, you know, all lovey-dovey, the usual bullshit. Anyway, Mum's talking away on the phone, and Misha lets go. This was the most that she's ever done. Like it literally went from like Mum's chest all the way down, like to her pants and her legs. Like it was just, it seemed like a liter of it. Like it was just so much of it. And Mum's on the phone to her sister, whose name was Iris, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I've got to go. My dog has this funny bum, and it's just put all this stuff down on me. I've just got to go." And she hangs up the phone, and I was thinking, that must be the worst excuse that ever had. Their dog's got a yucky bum, and they've got to get off the phone.
No.
That one was...
Got a yucky bum.
Dog's got a yucky
bum. We should see if that for Days of Our Madge, if we can get Madge to reenact that.
That would be good. We'll have to do something.
Go sit on her lap and leak on her bum.
Oh.
Leak on her bum. That came out wrong. Oh, no. We've got to edit that out.
That's making the final cut.
Oh, shit.
Them damn turds, man. Them damn turds. Coming towards the end of the podcast, and one of the things that we want to do from now on is sort of like a questions and answers thing.
Yeah.
For people who listen to the podcast, come up with some questions. They can just be completely random. Try and be funny. Try and be serious. Just questions about the dog's ass for whatever. Tweet them at us at Lead Sox or on Facebook. Write us up on Facebook. Just search for Lead Sox. The S in the socks at the end is a Z, so it's Lead Sox. Sounds a bit fancy.
Up in class.
But yeah, you can also go to our website too, which is leadsocks.highwearoddsocks.com, and you can go to the contact page there and write us an email as well. Just ask us a few questions, some bullshit.
Yeah.
This podcast will be every week. We'll hopefully be recording every Monday or every Tuesday, depending on your schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, hit us up on the Twitter, the Facebooks, the interwebs. We are on iTunes, so you can subscribe to us from there. Leave us a review if you liked us. If you hate us, leave a review as well. Make sure you believe your real name and we can hunt you down later on. And, yeah, well, hopefully we'll be on Stitcher, Stitcher Radio, and a few other bits and pieces. But iTunes, and go to our main website as well, and you can get the link to subscribe to our podcast there as well if you use Android or any other sort of, I think a Windows phone or whatever, you can get our stuff on your device. So where can people find you on the web if they want to follow you, my man?
You can follow me on Twitter at Leadpin, and you can also search me on Facebook and on YouTube.com/Leadpin. And yeah, I mean, if you tweet questions to me about certain stuff, if I find it's funny enough to include in the podcast, then I'll do that. But definitely follow the podcast Twitter account at Lead Sox with a Z, and try and put all your questions through to that account. It just makes it easier for us to go through that.
Yeah, cause, and you're such a popular man. You'd be getting the tweets all up your bum.
Other guys, it's actually find Twitter easier to manage because not many people get me on there. So it's pretty easy to manage at this stage. Facebook and YouTube, pretty hectic. But where can the people find you, Matty?
I am on the Twits. You can find me on Twitter at I Wear Odd Socks with a Z at the end. And yeah, I don't have I've just got a personal Facebook page. If you guys know me well enough, you can probably find me on there. If you really want to add me, I don't really use Facebook, but yeah, whatevs. And you can find me on web at iwearoddsocks.com. That page is really outdated. I'm hopefully, in my days of leisure being unemployed, we'll update it this week. So hopefully it'll look all brand new. There will be other podcasts coming as well, not just Lead Sox. There'll be a few other bits and pieces on that website.
Looks good. Can't wait.
Mango! Oh, man, I've got a fart. I've been holding this fart the whole podcast.
Put that right at the end.
Oh, that one hurt.
Oh, blood. No. Blood in the pan?
No.